Hello, everyone, and welcome to minute 84 of season 5 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1990 Bruce Willis action film Die Hard 2, Die Harder, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again is Lisa Leahy.
Hello, how are you?
So minute 84 begins with Holly getting quite smart and ends with John looking intensely forward. So we ended things yesterday with Holly starting to stir the pot and asking the stewardess, do you think we, you know, she like calls her over. And today she continues and says, I was just wondering, this flight originally was supposed to be 5.5 hours, right? Mm-hmm. Do we have enough fuel to keep circling around like this? Oh, of course. They anticipate little problems like this.
I got to give this woman credit. That's a slick line to have ready to go.
It is a very slick line to be able to also stay with a straight face. She smirks a little bit, but you know, she sells it. You know, she,
and her answer is very, very good. Yes. Yeah.
And I love how she said little problems like this.
Like, whoops. Yeah.
That's right. And as she says it, they zoom in on Holly's face, who still looks really scared. You know,
I don't blame her.
Yeah. And then she looks around and, you know, sees the public phones. And you see, like, a light bulb appear over her head as she's starting to think about what the whole thing is. Now, I mean, for me, it's actually interesting because you would think that, you know, I tried looking this up a few weeks ago and I never could find the answer, and I still don't have the official answer of it. You know, like, how much extra fuel do they put in planes when they have to, you know, when they
not this long? Much.
Well, no, again, we don't know how long they've really been circling.
Right.
You know, let's put it this way. They've been circling at least an hour, you know, if not more. The assumption is they've been circling for more. We don't know. But, you know, that is one of the faults of this movie, that as soon as any of these planes realized that there is a major problem in Dulles, at that point you get in contact with Baltimore. You get in contact with someone else and
That's what I'm saying.
Say,
yes.
Well, we're having trouble. We can't contact Dulles, but we're running out of fuel. Can you move us over to your flight pattern? You know, it's like, yes, the old lady next to Holly is going to be even more pissed. There's no question about that. But at this point,
I mean, I agree. Yes. That baffled me. I just kind of explain it away and go, well, that's something beyond my pay grade. So
yeah,
I don't know.
Exactly. It's, I mean, that's one of the flaws of this movie. I mean, they should have done that at the first place. As soon as they heard that there was a problem, you know, they should have, instead of rack 'em, stack 'em, and pack 'em, they should have just said, okay, we're diverting all planes from here. And that's it, including FM1. That would have really messed up everyone's plans.
No kidding, right? Well, I mean, I know he says that he diverts everybody who's got enough fuel to go somewhere else. So maybe that's the hiccup.
Well, is it? Because, again, you know, how far is it from Washington to Baltimore? You know, they said that Reagan closed down because of the storm.
The weather.
Yes.
That could be the other problem, because maybe these other airports that we're thinking of, like Baltimore and stuff, maybe they're closed too.
Correct, but I'm assuming you can find some airport at some relatively close distance that these planes that have been circling for 2 hours, if not more, would have been able to land. Again, it would have made the movie moot. You know, that's the whole idea here.
We can't have that happen.
No, of course not. You know, they need to keep everything tense and thrilling, and they do because of the way that everything needs to circle around, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, we also tried figuring out at one point how many planes there were and, you know, how many planes are in the pattern. And I think that the answer that I got was at some point someone says that they can see 19 planes or something like that. It's mentioned at some point, you know, how many planes there are, which it's not that big of a number. You know, it's not like they have hundreds of planes flying around.
Right.
You know, so
not all at once in one span of like an hour, because even though you have a giant airport, you can't manage that many.
Right. Well, no, but we did see the arrivals
Oh, the
board.
arrivals board. Yeah, that's
So
true.
you could see how many planes are expected to arrive. How many of
Nice.
them are already, on approach is a completely different thing. That I couldn't tell you.
Right. Yeah, that's fair.
So we would have to see about that. And then she looks over and we see this light bulb over her head as she's looking at the phone bank on the side there. And then the shot changes and we're back to John. John's
Yes.
out in the middle of the snow, which again, there is no real snow here. This movie has no bits of real snow. They talk about the fact of how bad a shoot it was that they couldn't get any type of real snow. And either they had too much snow or no snow. Because
Right.
throughout the commentary, Rennie Harlan mentions how there was no snow. And this scene, he talks about the fact that there was a major snowstorm the night before, and they couldn't film because there were so much winds and so much snow.
Gonna do.
And then when it got to the next day, they it didn't help them. This is all fake snow.
It's hilarious. It's just it's like the just the nature of the beast. You're never gonna be able to get what you want for something like that.
Correct. Right. But what's great here is that at least Bruce Willis is a good enough actor because we see him brush off this fake snow from the thing, and he generally looks as if he's freezing his butt off. You can see that the way he grabs his hand after he moves off the snow, that it looks like he's got like I wouldn't necessarily say the point of frostburn, but he. His hand, he like shakes his hand because it's cold. I remember it. I
Right.
remember. I mean, I grew up in Detroit, so there was a lot of snow in the winter. And I remember,
You know cold.
I would sometimes, take snow or ice off of the car, with my bare hand if I didn't have a glove on or something like that. And afterwards, your hand
Yep.
is stinging from it because it was so
Yeah,
cold.
you regret that.
That's right. That's right. But the
Exactly.
way that he's doing this, makes it seem as if it's really snow, that he's really touching ice. By the way, but it's just funny thinking about the fact that he's brushing off fake snow.
Yes. I will say it didn't occur to me watching the movie again, like except for like maybe one point where I was looking at like a set design. It's like, it never worried me thinking, oh, this isn't real snow. Like I think there was one patch like on the ground outside the church where I went, that looks a little weird. Does snow actually land that way? But then I got over it because they were doing other things,
Right.
so.
Okay, that's fair. I mean, again, until I listened to the commentary and started doing research for
Yeah.
the season, I didn't know that there was no snow. I always believed that there, I mean,
Right.
come on, they were filming in Denver, they were filming in Seattle, they were filming in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. Obviously, they had tons of
There's
they had
snow.
tons of snow. There's, there's no reason why there wouldn't be.
There's snow reason.
That's
Yes.
right. There's no reason like show business,
Oh, God. I'm
Exactly.
sorry. I'm sorry, people. I couldn't help it.
Yeah, that's true. So at this point, John then, so he brushes off the snow. Barnes opens up this blueprint that he brought, which doesn't really help. You'd think it would have been easier to bring like an atlas. I don't know.
No.
I don't know how the
I mean,
blueprint.
like, it's crazy.
Did he steal it from the police museum? Bringing the guy yesterday
Right,
playing
this whole thing with
that
him.
sorry, the guy yesterday playing with the plant is now wondering why there's an empty space, where they used to have this
Yes.
blueprint. They could have just like
I can imagine he's looking for it
that's
too.
right. That would have been a great shot if they would have right before the shot just shown someone walking in the police station and walking right by the thing and looking and doing a double take.
You're like,
Doing
huh?
a double take, exactly, trying to understand why it's not there. And then, we go to this scene and we see him unfolding it and be like, oh, that's where
Yes.
it went.
Well, I mean, because you it makes you think, like, if it's got that place of honor, right? Like under the bulletin board, it's obviously something they're looking at constantly. So somebody must be looking for it. Nope.
That is true.
They don't think the way we do,
No,
Rob.
they don't. They don't. Because they're scripted. We're unscripted.
That's it.
That's right.
Off the rails.
That's right. And then John says to Barnes, We looked at 12 houses and we're nowhere. And then Barnes says to him, this is our last possibility. Over here, there's an old church. Now, okay. First of all, the fact that they've gone through 12 different houses is pretty impressive.
Right.
You know, now it makes you wonder why they would think that they're working out of a house. You know, if you look at this area and you say, okay, we have a group of military men that are here doing something nefarious. Okay, let's first go look at the houses. And oh, by the way, what we have here left is this old abandoned church. Oh, okay.
Abandoned space.
No,
yeah.
He just says an old church.
Like, duh.
He says an old church. But still, you know, it's like.
Oh, okay.
You'd think that that's where you're going to go first.
You would think. Like, which of these is not like the others?
That's right. But, I mean, it makes it impressive that they checked out 12 houses first, you know.
They did. They're very, very, what is the word I want? Productive in that short amount of time.
That's true. And it makes me wonder, like, how did they search? You know.
I know!
Did they?
They knock on the door. Like, you know, there's some little old lady who chats with them and wonders what they're doing.
Right. Excuse me, did you see a group of paramilitary, you know, men walk by here?
Yeah. Do you have some terrorists in your basement?
That's right. So I don't know how they really check them. Especially since later this, you know, today and tomorrow, we'll see how they actually check the church. So,
yes.
You know, if that's how they were checking all these other houses, I don't know.
I can't. Too funny.
Yeah. Again, I if I would have been there, I would have, you know, gone for the church first. It would have, you know.
But see, if you had been there, this movie would be shorter. So we can't do this. We can't keep coming up with ways that we're going to make things
that's
better.
That's true. That's true. All right, you're fair.
We
that's
lose
fair.
The movie
that's
otherwise.
And then Barnes says to him, okay, let's go. And then...
Thank God Barnes is there to move things along.
And then John starts walking, and then he goes, wait. And he goes, there's the church over there. And I mean, it's great just the way that they, you know, that they're, you know, first of all, did you see that he didn't even fold up the blueprint? You know, the way that he picked it up.
No, I missed
he,
that.
He like picks it up in a way that it would be
just crumples it.
He doesn't,
it in
he doesn't completely crumple it, but he grabs it in a way that you would think is not the proper way to be possibly. Folding it up afterwards. And then we see them like creeping around.
Okay, but I do have to say though, as somebody who has, and I'm sure you have as well, ever handled a paper map, you know, like when you're in a hurry, you do not have time to fold that thing properly. You're just going to crumple it and deal with it later.
That's true. You're right. That's right. But again, what did he do for these other 12 houses? Did he keep crumpling it each time?
I don't
you
know.
Because when he took it out, it looked as if it was
and crumpled it.
If when he took it out, it looks
pretty clean.
It looks as if it was folded properly. You know, after each house, he's got to refold it. You know,
what is going on with these plot holes, Harley?
Yeah, seriously,
unacceptable.
Yes, and then we see them like creeping around a house, which is great. You know, you know, did they check
the Christmas
did
lights?
They check these houses? Are these houses that they checked?
They better be.
So wouldn't they have then also have already seen, you know, the church beforehand by the way that they're coming through here? And I love that you see that the house that they're next to has Christmas lights lit up. The one behind them is completely dark. You have even like a dog house.
Yeah.
You see a dog house that's also abandoned.
There's always somebody who has absolutely no Christmas spirit in the neighborhood.
Hey,
you know,
hey,
like there's somebody.
Maybe they're Jewish.
No, well, all right. Let me rephrase. Let me take out the people who celebrate. The people who celebrate. There's always some Scrooge who doesn't want to put the lights up. I eliminate anyone who doesn't actually celebrate. That's
yeah, but
a different
how do you
story.
Know?
Because nobody's looking. No, oh, because well, because you know your neighbors generally.
Okay. Okay.
No?
Yes, but John and
I mean,
but John and
you know
Barnes don't know
the
who
house.
The neighbors are.
That's true. That's true. So this may not be. This just could be the local Jewish family.
There you
You're
go.
Right.
Who are apparently away because the house is dark.
They're away. They're like, we're done with this chaos. Get me out of here, this Christmas crap.
They're
they go away.
They're out
here.
Eating Chinese. You know. We used to do that. We used to either go out for dinner on Christmas Eve. You know, because everything.
Yes.
Or quite often we went to movies. Because the movie theaters were empty.
Love
Yeah,
that.
I still remember
Yes.
in 1985, my family, we all went to go see Clue on Christmas Eve.
Oh, that's so
Yeah,
cool.
and it was.
We would go Christmas night. Like my friends and I would go, because after all the dinners and stuff were done, we didn't really have anywhere to go. So we would go to see a movie Christmas night.
But we would go.
Not to mention they tend to release stuff Christmas Day,
That's true,
so.
also. Well, did it release Christmas Day, or they usually release them the day before, or something like that, in order to.
I don't know, it depends.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. But bottom line is that yes, that's the Goldsteins are living right next door there, you know. So who knows?
That's too funny.
Right. So I mean
They're keeping their dog in
that's
sight.
right. Well, you got to keep them away from those terrorists in the church next
I'm
door.
telling you, you never know. These dogs are too friendly. They're just going to go in there, saunter in, and just make friends with the terrorists. It's not a good
That's
look.
right. That's very true.
You don't want your family dog to be the one that's friendly with
That
terrorists.
is very true. So we see these Christmas lights on the building here. So it got me thinking about like the history of Christmas lights. Do you know anything about the history of Christmas lights? You see, I
No,
don't.
do not.
I'm the first person to admit I know nothing
I
about the
love that
history.
this even occurred to
Of course, of course. So do you know other names for Christmas
you.
lights?
No,
Okay.
I mean, I know like certain types of lights, but
No,
go
but
ahead.
these could be known as fairy lights, festive lights, or string lights.
Okay, I see what you mean.
Right.
Okay.
Have you ever heard any of those phrases before? Oh, okay.
Yes, because like fairy lights, like people put them in their dorm room.
Ah, okay.
Like when you have had, like, so I have behind me in my room here, I have a tree with lights on it. And people say, why do you still have a Christmas
Oh
tree
my
up in
God,
your
you really
house?
do.
But
And
I have,
just behind the curtain,
I
everyone,
do.
this is the middle of July. Okay. Christmas in July
Yes.
in Lisa's
So
house.
it's not a Christmas tree, it's a tree with lights because this room has a fireplace. And so when we have fires, I like to have all the lights off and just this ambiance. This is not the Christmas tree. The Christmas tree is in the basement where it belongs because the Christmas tree goes in another room. But I can't find, you can't get lights like unless I string them myself. But we have this lovely
Wow.
fireplace and it's nice to have the ambience. So that's what it is. It's a tree with lights, not a Christmas tree. And the lights are on because anytime I'm on any sort of video call, people go, why do you have that over there? And I explain it to them and they go, well, you need to turn it on. So I just leave it on now because people always get mad at me that it's
Oh, okay, I
not
thought people just get mad at you that you have
on.
a Christmas tree that's not a Christmas tree.
They constantly are like, well, if you're going to have it, you should have it turned on. Okay. So it's on.
Okay. All right, that's fair. They're very fair.
Yes.
Okay,
Thank you.
so how far back do you think the idea goes of decorating a Christmas tree with lights?
Oh God,
We'll
with
start with that,
lights?
yes.
Well, you need like electricity for
No,
that,
not
so.
necessarily.
Oh, so you're talking like candles and stuff on the tree. Gosh, that goes back to Victorian times.
It goes back to the 1539 is the first
Okay, a little
recorded
further
use
back than I expected.
of putting them on a Christmas tree. They had candles. They had
Interesting.
candles on the trees back then. All right. Now,
Sounds safe.
very much, very much. Now, the illuminated Christmas tree, as you mentioned, became established in England during Queen Victoria's reign. So you were right about that.
There we go.
In her journal in 1832, the 13-year-old princess wrote, after dinner, we then went into the drawing room near the dining room. There were two large round tables on which were placed two trees hung with lights and sugar ornaments, all the presents being placed
Yes.
around the trees. Until the availability of inexpensive electrical power in the early 20th century, miniature candles were commonly used. There are some cultures that still use them. All right. In 1895, President Grover Cleveland was had the first electrically lit Christmas tree in the White House, which had over
Nice.
100 multicolored lights. Okay, the first recorded use of Christmas lights on outdoor trees occurred in San Diego in 1904, and only in New York City in 1912.
Interesting.
There are right. So in 1963, there was a boycott of Christmas lights in Greenville, North Carolina, that were in protest for segregation that kept blacks from being employed by downtown businesses in Greenville. And they actually started calling that, they called it the Black Christmas Boycott. And
Interesting.
They say that it was a very effective way to protest the cultural and physical segregation in the town with a 33% black population.
So that people who didn't have the lights on were in favor of desegregation.
That's correct.
Good. Okay. So I'm in favor of this too.
Yeah.
All right, good.
In 1973, when during the oil shortage, and they had an embargo on OPEC, so Nixon actually asked Americans not to put up Christmas lights in order to conserve energy. Many Americans complied. Okay. And that year, there were fewer displays. And in the mid-2000s, there's a video of the home of someone named Carson Williams. And he had a viral video because it had he has a hobby of he has more than 250,000 lights. That's just amazing. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people do crazy light displays over here now. Like people have, there are people who, like, the same way you have haunted house displays and things like that, people fundraise all year, and there are certain houses in whatever area you're in that will do like literal displays. Like they'll be on during the week and the weeks up to Christmas and whatever it is. And they're basically taking donations. They're tuned and they're in time with music and all this other stuff. And you listen to the radio in your car, you can hear the music that they're dancing to. It's a whole thing now. It's crazy.
And so once, you know, when do you think people started doing track lighting? You know, for Christmas. For Christmas.
No, I don't. Sometime in the 70s.
60s. Okay, very close. Very close. Started in the 60s, and obviously it has become very popular. You know, as you said,
yes,
everyone's trying to outdo their neighbors when it comes to these type of things.
That's
you
it.
Know, there are numerous examples of movies that talk about, you know, the whole idea of, you know, wanting to have the brightest and most illuminated house,
right,
or most decorated house and stuff like
right.
that. So, yeah, I just thought that would be interesting to mention.
It is pretty cool. And people say Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
I've never said that.
What other podcasts
I've
are
never
giving
said that.
You these
days? Yeah, seriously.
No.
That's true. Whatever, what other podcasts run by a Jew are giving you these things?
Right? Good point.
That is true. So at this point, then John starts, you know, walking. They continue to walk. And, you know, we hear Barnes and then say, there's the church over there. So is he like telling that to John, or is he telling it to us? You know, like who is that benefiting?
Exactly. I don't know. Just giving us a heads up. We need to be oriented
yeah.
here.
You know, and we get a nice shot of the church in the distance. And then, you know, the
yes.
minute ends with John giving a very intense look towards the church. You know, so we're not really sure what he's, you know, looking at and what he's saying.
Cold.
Yeah.
The cold wind that's affecting.
That's right.
Site.
People will have to come back tomorrow to find out what John is possibly thinking. Who knows? Maybe we'll find out. Maybe we won't. And but I do like how at the end of this minute, you know, we see this intense look on John's face. But if you look to his left, we have a lot of the lights that are out of focus, mm-hmm. but you still see the lights illuminating the Christmas lights there. So I think that's a nice way to do
yes.
it. That's
very
right.
important.
So do you have anything else you want to say about this minute before we get into the script?
I'm
All right.
good.
So the script obviously is very similar, but we'll still go through it. So then Holly says, I was wondering, our flight was only supposed to be 5.5 hours. Our flight was only supposed to be 5.5 hours, almost sheepishly. Do we have enough fuel for all this endless circling? Pause. The stewardess's face eases into an official smile. Oh, of course we do. They anticipate little problems like this. She moves away. We tighten on Holly. She's chilled by the lie. Worried. She turns. Looks mm-hmm. over at the airphone. And then it says a tight shot on McLean's waist. His beeper shows as he climbs something. We widen. He and Barnes are outside a house that backs up to the airport. Both peer over the fence. It's a modest DC suburban track job. People trim a tree. It could be Norman Rockwell. McLean, hell, these people are hanging their goddamn stockings. They drop down into the snow, crunch to the next fence. Look at a second house. No tree. People having dinner. A menorah burning on the windowsill. McClane then says, and these people aren't. You see, it's the Goldsteins. There you go. We were right.
You were right.
We were right.
That's
and
great.
And I'll honestly say I didn't read the script beforehand. You know.
I trust you.
I actually didn't have a chance to do so. So there you go. It says, they've come to a corner. Now they go back to the street. Spread Barnes's map over the hood of Barnes's still humming car. Far behind them, we see the illuminated airport tower centered in a dark blot that should be brightly active. That should be brightly active runways. Barnes reaches inside his jacket, fumbles in his jammed plastic pocket thingy for a little flashlight. He checks the map. Four more possibilities, three houses and a church. They cross the intersection on foot, walk over the lawn. It's further to the next place, more prosperous yard. Something, suddenly, McLean puts up his hand. Barnes stops. Both look at the next property, the church. And that's how it stops.
Dun, dun, dun. Until next
that's
time.
Right. So, yeah, that's great. It's always fun reading what they have to say here. Obviously, the way they do it in the movie is better. You know,
yes. Oh, much better.
You know, so.
It gave us lots to talk about whether or not that dark house is
correct.
Jewish or not.
That's right. All right. So every Thursday, we have a segment called Aviation Thursday, where my guests will give their top five movies that are somehow related to aviation. It could be an airport,
yes.
Could be an airplane, could be space. So what have you got for us, Lisa?
All right.
Leahy. Did I get it right? I got it right.
You got
it right.
Nicely done. You got it, Rob.
And I didn't
Good
look
job.
It up.
All right. So number five for me is Dr. Strangelove, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb, which is great because I remember being in film class and, you know, looking at, you know, Tex riding the bomb down and our professor asking if we thought anything about that particular scene and me smirking because, you know, I'm 17, 18 years old. And of course I think sexual things, but then of course you don't want to say that out loud. Turns out that's exactly what was intended and should have, you know, been bold and said something, but I didn't. But of course, such a brilliant film. Number four, Top Gun. I'm sure this has come up before. Number three, Up in the Air, which for whatever reason, I just love the characterization in that film. I love the, I love George Clooney. I love Vera Farmiga. I love Anna Kendrick. I just love the way they all kind of come together and something about that movie just hits for me. And I love the film in general. Jason Reitman is a fan. I'm a fan of his. Words are hard. Red Eye comes in at number two because, you know, obviously I have to put some sort of creepy movie in there. Cillian Murphy and Rachel McAdams. And I feel like people have forgotten.
Is that pronounced Cillian? I always thought it was Cillian. Interesting.
No, I believe that the Gaelic pronunciation.
I don't think it could be. I actually saw that movie for the first time a few months ago.
So
I really enjoyed it. Yeah.
It's a good film, and I feel like it's just been forgotten. And, of course, number one is Con Air, because if we're going to talk 90s action films, this is one of the pinnacles of that. It's just so amazing.
All right.
Yeah, I love that film. And so those are my top five.
Very cool. All right, excellent. Thank you very much for that. So, Lisa, you want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with you. Where can they find Lisa Leahy?
Absolutely. They can find Lisa Leahy on Rabbit Hole Podcast Network. And you can hear me on podcasts such as Between the Scares, in which we are discussing every film that Jason Blum and Blumhouse Productions have put out into the world. And we are thankfully well into the horror world, so I'm happy about that. You can hear me on Pictures and Conversations, a Rabbit Hole Podcast book club. We put those out on the 20th of every month. And you can find Rabbit Hole Podcast Network on rabbitholepodcasts.com. You can find me on Twitter at FoolishMinion20.
Oh, wow. Okay. And, I didn't mention before when you mentioned Con Air as your number one movie. So, obviously, big shout out to Jay and Mark, who just 2 months ago finished their Con Air podcast. But anyone, you know, who's interested can
– Great podcast.
Right. Both you and I have been on it. Anyone who's interested, you can go back and listen to all 40 episodes of how they broke down Con Air scene by scene. And, you know, they even figured out the seating, the seating chart of all of the different cons. So, you know, you should go check that out. It's such a great way to look at this movie.
And it really just enhances the whole idea of the movie, the way that these discussions go on.
Very worth your
Yes,
time.
completely. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, or you can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. So, Lisa, you feel like coming back in tomorrow to finish up this week
I would
to see
love
what
to.
happens at this church?
Where we end
I
up,
think
absolutely.
John and Barnes are going to the chapel. Are they going to get married? I don't know.
Oh.
That would take this movie in a very different direction.
It would. The terrorists or
That's
the
right.
ushers
There you go.
at the
Well,
wedding.
what's left of them? All right.
Well, you don't want a huge wedding party. I mean, that's a
That's
lot of
true.
mouths to feed.
That's a good point. That's a good point. All right. Well, until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
If you're fond of sand dunes and salty air, quaint little villages, here